Man, I know there's so much that goes into the production here, and Pastor Christian has done such a great job. Y'all give him a hand, man. He's brought this so far with the worship team, the production thing. And there's so much that goes on behind the scenes, and it's really incredible just to watch how everything gets synchronized and how everything works together. But I just want to welcome you to Thrive Community Church and online. We want to welcome our online family as well, and just honor Pastor Nathan. I'm thankful for the opportunity to speak this morning. If you guys are new, you don't know me, my name is Chris Bracken, and I have the opportunity to serve here as the Campus Life Director. And so if you are new, or really, I mean, if you've been coming here, today is our Thrive Tribes kickoff, and I'm so excited about it. Just clap your hands all down, raise the roof. That's going to be today. It's going to be about finding freedom, and it's about community and tribes. And so with that, tribes, community, the people that you surround yourself with are so important. There's so many of us that get in this place where we see patterns in life, we see habits in life, we see all this stuff going in life that we wish we could change, that we really want to surrender to the Lord. We see the fruit of Jesus in other people's life, but we're not quite sure how to do that. And relationships, that is where transformation takes place. And in those relationships and the transformation, who you surround yourself with and who you have those relationships with is so important. It is so important. You're either in one of two places. You're either intentionally being in a place where you allow the atmosphere and the environment that you've allowed to be in your life to influence you, or you're super intentional about what atmosphere you're putting yourself in and what you're allowing to transform and what you're allowing to happen inside, and that's always going to flow outside in your life for everybody else to see. So intentionality is just, if there's a quote, I know you guys have heard it. If you've been here for 2 weeks, you've probably heard this, but it's a quote by Jim Rohn, and it's, within 5 years, you'll be the average of your five closest friends. And with that, it is so eye-opening to see how important it is on who you spend your time with and who you allow to influence your life. There's this really cool video that we're going to show from UCLA here in a minute, but it just shows, like, in the most basic form, even in the most basic form of science, how you can come into a situation or an atmosphere in a totally different direction, and eventually over time, that atmosphere that you allow yourself is going to have you conform to what everything else is going on around you. And so if you'll go ahead and play this video, I just want you to watch. If you guys notice in that, it's the little movement that happens in there. It's the little conversations that you have. It's the little compromises in life where you give here, you give there, based off of the atmosphere and the people that you hang around with, and it will start shifting and shaping how you do life and your habits. So with that, that's going to lead us right into the series Metamorphosis. Now, I get a little nerdy, and when I get a chance to nerd out a little bit, I want to take advantage of it. So, with the metamorphosis and the transformation process that we're talking about, I just wanted to dig into this word a little bit. According to Strong's Concordance, in the Greek, the word is metamorpho. And out East Texas, I'm like, I'd pronounce it metamorpho. It's how you actually pronounce it. It's like meant, I can't even roll my R's good enough to even try. I'm not even going to try to. But if we could get, there we go, metamorpho. Okay, so it's going to be split up into two words, but all together it means being with the changing form in keeping with inner reality. It's properly transformed after being with or transfigured. Now, metamorpho is, it's split into two basic words. You got meta and you got morpho. Meta is properly with or after with. It's implying the change afterward. So in that active with part, it's looking towards the end result of something. So it's intentionally being with something or with someone. And in that, it's looking for the after effect, the intentional after effect of being with that. Morpho is the form embodying the inner essence, properly taking on the form that properly embodies a particular inner essence. Now, morpho actually breaks down to its root word, morphe. Probably butchered that one too. But properly formed, it's an outward expression that embodies essential inner substance that the form is in complete harmony with the inner essence. So in its basic, when you break it down, metamorphosis or metamorpho, that is intentionally being with someone or with something for the intentional after effect of what is placed inside of you being in harmony, that it flows as an outward expression to where inside and outside actually form as one picture. Okay? You'll see this word, particular word, used four times in the New Testament. The first one's going to be in Matthew 17 and Mark 9, where it says, 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up to the high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured, metamorpho, before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. What was inside of him, his inner essence, became manifest on the outside for all to see. The next one's going to be in Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, metamorpho, by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The next one's in 2 Corinthians 3:18. And all of us with the unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. So this transformation, this transfiguration piece is, it's key in our essential walk. As Pastor Nathan was talking last week about the transformation between a caterpillar and a butterfly, and we're going to re-go over that a little bit because there's so many nerdy things that I learned, and I just want to share them with you guys. So in the caterpillars, I personally don't like caterpillars. You can hate me, but I think they're ugly and they're pointless, and I don't like them. I'm like, no, I'm staying away from that thing. Some of them are sting, some of them are poisonous. And I don't know which one is which, so I just stay away from them all. And their whole purpose when they're born, they just eat and eat and grow, and they just consume everything around them for their own benefit. Like, they don't actually give back to anything yet. They're just living in their own little world, just munching and chowing on everything. And they're just these like little, even the way they walk, they do that little slither walk. I don't even know what to call it. But they're just like these little selfish, slithering, walking, like fuzzy slugs. And I don't like fuzzy slugs. Hey, look, if that's a stoner name for a caterpillar, I don't know what is. Like, hey, you know what? If you're laughing at that, if you're online and that's you, you know what? We love you. If you're here, that's you. Like, we love you too. And if fuzzy slugs is what caught your attention, I hope you stick around to figure out how they turn into like fuzzy slugs with like flappy wings, okay? They're not going to let me speak again. But it's this awesome transformation process. And so they go from, actually, like, caterpillars don't even have cocoons. I always thought that they were cocoons. Like, they go in the cocoon, they transform. Turns out cocoons are actually made for types of moths, not even a butterfly thing. The butterflies actually, when they decide to start the transformation process, they actually like shed their skin and it forms this shell. And then from that shell is called the chrysalis or a pupa. And I just want to say pupa because it's fun. Hey, everybody say pupa. 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 There we go. I need some interaction. You can't giggle a little bit and not say that word. And so with this, they get in this kind of the shell of their old self they shed, and then they kind of just start eating themselves, and they start, it's weird, the dissolving process that happens where they basically go down to nothing. And so what we're going to do is I want to walk through the process again real quick with the caterpillar going into transforming into a butterfly, but I'm also going to bring up some Bible verses and relate that straight to us and our transformation process with it. Where Ephesians 4, 21 through 24, "For surely you have heard about him and were taught in him, as truth is in Jesus. You were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lust, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourself with a new self, created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." And so with that, we're putting off that old self, but it's really cool when it's not just putting off the old self, but it's putting on the new self too. So when a caterpillar goes in there, there's these enzymes with, I think they're called capsaicin. And what they do is as it sheds itself and it builds this shell around itself, then inside these enzymes are released and it starts to rip apart and dissolve all the stuff that it doesn't need in the transformation process to be what it was designed to be. And in that space, it will get down to basically nothing. It only keeps the key structures, like the breathing tubes, like the lungs. There's just a few key pieces that it needs to keep and get rid of all the rest of the old self. And so in that process, there is another thing at the same time that's within them called the imaginal disc. And Pastor Nathan mentioned this last week. And this imaginal disc is so cool because it actually carries the DNA for the butterfly, and there's different imaginal discs. So one imaginal disc is for one wing. The other imaginal disc carries the DNA for the other wing. And so all the different parts that the butterfly needs already has it within itself to do it. But when it decides to step into the transformation process, all these imaginal discs that have been laying dormant, that have already been inside of it, already had everything that it needed to be a butterfly, all of a sudden activates. So as the old self is dying off, these imaginative discs, the cells start multiplying themselves for the part of the body that they were designed to be for the whole picture of the butterfly. And so it starts building the butterfly at the same time. As you see in Psalm, or 2 Timothy 1:6, "For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God, who did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline." I bring this verse up because this is where Paul is actually pouring into Timothy in this season where Timothy is growing and he's being transformed and he's being matured. That word pupa, it means that an insect is going from an immature stage into a mature stage. And so when you've accepted Christ and you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit and he's living within you, he's already distributed gifts to you. He's already given you talents. God designed you in a certain way, whether you decide to walk with him or not. But when you do come into alignment and you choose to be transformed in it, it ignites things that are already inside of you that he placed in you that have been dormant the whole time that allow you to become who he created you to be if you intentionally choose to submit the process and do it his way. Everybody has these different things. This is why Paul is telling Timothy, hey, stir up those gifts that are within you. They're already there. You just need to come into agreement with them and operate in them. Be who God created you to be and don't doubt it. But you have to be intentional about it. You have to choose. And when we have all these things in these imaginal discs, right, and we've got the different parts of the body, and so I may have certain gifts. Pastor Stephanie has certain gifts. Pastor Christian has certain gifts. And we all feed off of each other. I got convicted this one time where I struggled with it so much because I woke up and we were coming to work and like everybody had all these dreams. Like everybody had dreams. They even text like, hey, did you dream last night? And I'm like, no, because I don't dream very often. I didn't get the dream. Everybody else got dreams. And I'm not going to lie, I was kind of jealous. And I had a conversation with God. And as I was griping, I was on my way to work. And I was like, man, I didn't get the dream. And everybody else got the dream. And they all go together. And I said, God, you know, if you would let me dream, then I wouldn't have to rely on. And then he caught me. And he was like, I didn't give you the dream because you were all designed to work together for different gifts. And I instantly got convicted. And I was like, oh, man, okay. So when I actually heard all the dreams, because my brain bounces all over the place, I got squirrels everywhere. But when I heard like the four or five different dreams, my brain instantly started connecting the dots and making puzzle pieces and doing all this stuff. And it was like, boom, there was the message. And it was like, oh, he's like, that's what you brought to the table. That's your piece. So in 1 Corinthians, let me back up, Psalm 139. For you formed my inward parts and you knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works by the soul. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. That brings it back to that place where God already knows you. He's already placed everything that you need to thrive in life and to be who he created you to be. And so as I begin to dig into this more and more, man, I just, the process of a caterpillar and a butterfly became so beautiful in how God orchestrates and he's so intentional with every detail. Well, going back to the different parts of the body, in 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 19, there is one body, but it has many parts, but all its many parts make up one body. It is the same with Christ. We were all baptized by one Holy Spirit, and so we are formed into one body. It didn't matter whether we were Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free people, we were all given the same spirit to drink. So the body is not made of just one part, it has many parts. Suppose the foot says, I am not a hand, so I don't belong to the body. By saying this, it cannot stop being part of the body. And suppose the ear says, I am not an eye, so I don't belong to the body. By saying this, it cannot stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, how could it hear? If the whole body were an ear, how could it smell? God has placed each part in the body just as he wanted it to be. If all the parts were the same, how could there be a body? As it is, there are many parts, but there is only one body. When you get plugged into community, look, if you hear me talk about spiritual gifts and who God created you to be, man, I encourage you, step into Next Steps. It's the first Sunday of every month. We have it during second service. Childcare is provided. We got snacks and drinks. We want to get to know you. We want you to catch the hear the vision of the church. But part of the Next Steps process is taking a spiritual gifts assessment. And it's taking a personality assessment. It's giving you some thought-provoking things to think about. But like, you know what? A lot of this stuff does align. I've never thought about that. And if I've given these certain gifts, man, and they're supernatural, why am I settling for living life in a way that is so much less than what God designed me to thrive in? Does that make sense? So I encourage you, if you get a chance, step into the Next Steps. How that, the community piece of it, I can't skip the community piece of it. There, I got such a plug, and I remember my first Thrive Tribe that I went to when I was here, and it was it was emotionally healthy spirituality, and it was led by Pastor Stephanie. And I remember she asked us, like, why are you in the tribe? What snagged your attention? And, you know, I thought I was mature. I was like, well, I just want to explore other opportunities to grow in my relationship. And she's like, you have no idea how hard this is about to kick you in the shin. And it did, over and over and over again. But it's so good because when I stepped into a group and this book is challenging thought processes, it's challenging my religious experience growing up, it's challenging my emotions, it's challenging how I do things in life. But then being plugged into a community where I can get plugged in, I can bounce things off of people, and I can be free to voice my struggles, to voice my prayer needs, to, because when you first step in, if you've never been in a small group, it can be kind of intimidating. It's like, man, I don't want to be close to these people. I don't know what's going on. You haven't quite stepped into it yet. And I promise you, that first night you sign up for a tribe, you're going to step in, you're going to feel welcomed, you're going to feel seen, and it's going to invite you into a family and possibly like a type of family that you've never experienced before. And that's where transformation happens, because you've got all these different gifts that God has created, all these individuals that all come into one. And man, they start calling things out in you. They start praying for you. They start caring about your kids and your wife and your family. And the next thing you know, they're like, man, like, I see this in you, or man, I don't quite agree with what you're saying, because I feel like that falls short than what God says about you. And then it challenges processes. So community, man, I cannot harp on community and getting plugged into a healthy, healthy, healthy environment. But when the caterpillar, going back to the caterpillar, it doesn't have a purpose. It doesn't do anything but walk around and eat everything else as it's in preparation for this transformation process. Now, when the butterfly starts going through and it's going through this transformation process, as soon as it ends, it gets connected to a purpose. Like it has its wings. It's equipped to do what it was called to do, but it still has to go out and do it. And for us, it's like going through this community process and sticking in tribes and intentionally making a choice to surround yourself with the right people. And when you have a vision of where you want to go, then you're going to surround yourself with the people that are going to come into alignment with that vision that God has given you. You're going to come into alignment with the desires that he's placed on your heart, because you're surrounding yourself in that community. That's why Romans 12, 2, let's skip a couple. Oh, back. Yeah. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So then you will be able to test and approve what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Man, this is one of my favorite verses, because this was such a pivotal moment in my walk, where I had always experienced religion, and there was an idea, but my relationship, not knowing about it, was more transactional with God than it was relational. I thought, oh, if I did my devotions, if I prayed these prayers and I read them, if I did these things, then I would get something from God in return, and my life would just somehow magically work out. Like, I grew up in Sunday school, like somehow putting those pieces together. And without the relational part of it, you're missing everything. Because in the relationship part, where God is talking to you and you're getting to know him, and then you start recognizing his voice, and then you start realizing what your gifts are, and then you start getting plugged in with people around you, and then you start realizing that if you really love God and you're in that much of a relationship with him, you have to love other people, and you start stepping out into uncomfortable situations and zones and making uncomfortable relationships, because how you love others also reflects how you love God. And in that loving God space, you start realizing how intimate it gets and how much he pours into you. And then you start loving others, because you actually start seeing them through God's eyes instead of your own. And this all comes from not just isolating yourself in a vertical relationship, but that is enhanced and amplified through a horizontal relationships that you have in life. He designed us each a specific and certain way. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go and such to a city. Oh, I skipped ahead. So James 4, I'm going to go ahead and read it. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, we will buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for just a little time. And then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin. Basically, what he's saying here is, you can talk about doing stuff tomorrow. You can talk about doing stuff in a different season of life. But if you know what you're supposed to do to grow an intimate relationship with him and what he's calling you to do, Don't be arrogant and be like, I got that tomorrow. I'll take care of that later. Next season. the intentionality about making the decision to where it's even thinking about like the life of a caterpillar. It's only like two weeks before it goes from larvae to caterpillar ready to get in its pupa. And like transformation process, and I'm gonna giggle every time I say pupa. But that's like 2 to 4 weeks. And then it has like another 2 to 4 weeks after it transforms to pollinate, to get into purpose and to make a difference. And that's only like a whole period from like larvae to after it reproduces, it pollinates and it dies and it starts the life cycle over again. It's like 2 months. And so we think, man, that's not very long at all. But then when we think about it, eternity, 80, 100 years, like our lives are but a vapor of smoke. And I promise you, if you don't know Christ, man, I encourage you to get in a relationship with him. We invite you for that. And if you are, I encourage you, don't settle for less than what he was died, buried, and rose again for you, because he came to give you life more abundantly. And if you're not stepping into the process of what his word says in relationship with him and getting yourself plugged into community, you're missing out on so much, and you're intentionally making the decision to do it. I don't mean to like step on toes, but it's the reality of it. We get caught in cycles and habits and lifestyles and relationships, and we keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, but we're not willing to do what it takes to actually walk through the transformation process. And half the time it's because, well, I can't crave something I don't know exists, or I can't want something where I don't even know the end result. That's part of the adventure, because when you step into it in the unknown and you're walking by faith, I think I've heard that somewhere, you start experiencing life and relationship in a whole new way. Second Corinthians 3. Indeed, to this very day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their minds. But when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Y'all wake up. Everybody say freedom. Freedom. There we go. Come on. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And all of us with unveiled faces, seeing the glory of the Lord as though reflected in a mirror, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, the Spirit. Thrive Tribes does three things that we focus on, and it's awesome. Number one, it's a place to pray with others. We're not made to do life alone. God, we were created for community. We were created to do it. And when you step into prayer with somebody, there's a whole nother level of intimacy. And I was joking around one day when somebody was asking me if I could babysit, or somebody could babysit Ariella, my little three-year-old daughter. And I was like, no, that's like a requirement. Like, man, if we didn't even pray together, you're not watching my kid. Because you can tell, you know a lot. But in that prayer time where you're covering each other in sickness and in diseases, as things come up, and we all go through these seasons of life that are just tough, and we need a community that doesn't come into agreement with what the enemy is trying to whisper into our ear, but comes into agreement with the kingdom of heaven, and they bring that perspective and surround you in an atmosphere when it's challenging you for because you're weak, and God is using that as a transformation process so that your faith actually builds, and he's preparing you for the next season of life so he can entrust more to you. All right, number two, it's a place to give. It's a place to give to each other. 1 John 3:16, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and our sisters. This is, man, in tribes, when you get to be a family and you get into community, when I tell you, man, I don't have a truck for this. Hey, Sergio, hey, dude, are you available this weekend? No, my trailer's broke down. Okay, let me call Christian. Let me do this. Or can I reach out to Pastor Stephanie when I'm struggling because family member had cancer or something is going on in this community where we're able to give, we're able to serve each other. We go to the hospitals, we meet, we have those conversations. We go over to the houses and we do it. We spend time with each other. And let me tell you, it is having people to go to and having people to connect with and knowing that they're giving out of the goodness of their heart without an expectation or trying to manipulate you really sets your heart free it makes you just want to jump in and dive in even deeper. And then without, as you're going through this process, you'll realize that everybody else is watching this, and you've got friends that are lost that don't know Jesus, and they're starting to witness Jesus who is in you start to manifest on the outside of you because you're submitting to the transformation process. Number three, it's a place to grow together. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Stretching and growing, guess what? I don't know everything. I don't need to know everything. I daily have to kick pride out of my life of trying to pretend like I know everything. And Pastor Nathan is so good. Pastor Christian, Pastor Deb, Pastor Stephanie, all this on staff that work together. Iron sharpening iron brings a whole new level. When you put yourself in an atmosphere that you're challenged to stretch and to grow, and you think about those average of your five closest friends and where you're going in the future for what God has called you to do, you have to be intentional about those people and align your heart with the desires that he has already placed in it. And when they stretch me and they say, Pastor Christian will look at me and be like, can I challenge that thought for a minute? And because I have a relationship with him, I know, okay, he sees something. He sees a blind spot that I don't. I better listen because he's got a few more years of wisdom on me. And he doesn't act like it. But in that space where, man, that is a blessing. It is such a blessing to have people in your life that care about you and they want to see you step into all God created you to be. And so your heart is open out of that relationship to be like, no, man, if you see those blind spots, hit me because I don't want to settle. Now that I've tasted the goodness of God, I don't want to settle for less than what he has for me. And he has placed you in my life and I've intentionally made a decision to be in a relationship with you to have that space to speak those things into me. You go. As far as this transform, and your mind starts changing and shifting, and it leads to the church in the early New Testament, Acts 5:42. Day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Messiah. Acts 20:20. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. John 13, a new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you also must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. This is the point where you make the decision to actually submit yourself and intentionally place people around you. The things that you do, how you budget your schedule, how you budget your money. Are you taking your Sabbath? Are you tithing? Are you plugged into community? Are you doing tribes? Are you actually, you want the promise that Jesus died on the cross to give you, but some people aren't willing to go through the process of actually receiving it. That's point blank. When you submit yourself to the process and then you start experiencing life in a whole new way, you can't help but to let it out. You can't help but to be like, hey, dude, man, I know you're struggling with this. You just got two DUIs and you feel like you're hopeless and you don't know what to do with yourself. But let me tell you, my God is a good God. My God is a good Father. And if I can just show you, can I pray for you? Can I give to you? Can I love you? Because it's out of receiving the grace and the mercy that you have in this relationship with God, that it overflows and it pours out to those around you. And you can't help because the kingdom of heaven is so vibrant in your heart that you have to pour it out to other people. You have to give it to them. You have to say, you need to know what I know. And if they don't, that's their choice. But my goodness, it breaks your heart to see somebody struggling so much. And you know what the answer is. You can't help but to tell them. That's like that song, let me tell you about my Jesus. But you have to be willing to submit to it. If you don't, you're going to be in the same patterns, the same cycles, the same habits. And as a parent, it's even a further responsibility because you're thinking about what your kids are watching. What habits are they picking up? How do we do life? How do we make it through? Are we surviving through it? Are we just going day by day, just doing the same things over again, a bunch of empty promises that never change? Or are they watching the kingdom of heaven actually take over your life and they're seeing the blessings and the inheritance of being a kingdom child that they're grabbing on for it? Man, I grew up in this atmosphere. How in the world would, man, and their hearts will start breaking for other kids in elementary school who don't have that at home. You talk about Freedom Conference, and the freedom you find in tribes, Freedom Conference is just, it's a pit stop. It's an encounter, and it's amazing. We had an amazing, incredible Freedom Conference this past time here in August, a few weeks ago. But real freedom comes from community. Freedom Conference is the fuel station towards the destination. It's the pit stop to have the encounter, to get overflowed with it. The Holy Spirit can speak to you, and you start breaking off generational curses, and you start committing inner vows and all these other things. And it's, man, when you get plugged into tribes, all that encounter happens, it starts overflowing, and you actually start living a lifestyle for generations that are affected out of that. That's the power of community. Oh, man. I just got to, man, I want to invite the tribe leaders up here real quick. These are people that have gone through this transformation process. They have they have walked in the doors. They've submitted to it. And the way that God has worked in their lives is, you got that mic, Terry? Good, awesome. The way that God has worked in their lives and what he has done and moved in them is so incredible that they want to invite you into their story. They want to invite you into what God has placed on their heart. So really, I just wanted to bring them up here. You got plenty of room? Come on. Come on, come on, come on. She's not here. Hey, you good? You are welcome. I saw you coming up here. Oh, there we go. All right, everybody got the mics. So with this, I just want to introduce you. Welcome our 2024 Fall Tribe Leaders. Yes, come on. This is exciting because our tribe leaders are growing. Our tribes are growing. People are making the choice to get plugged in. And so with this, I wanted them to share their heart real quick for each and every one so you guys can all hear it. You can see their faces. And then right after this, they're going to be outside in our little tunnel with the shades. You saw some things pop up this morning that looked a little different. So they're going to be there for you to help you get plugged in as you intentionally choose to join a tribe and watch God work in your life. You got it, Yvette? Our tech person. I know you know the microphone. Go ahead.
I don't have a voice.
Oh, you want me to help you? I'll stand up here with you. Actually, I don't need one. I forgot I got one attached to my head. So Yvette is actually running a cricket club with the vinyl press machines. And they're going to be doing some devotions and some Bible studies in that. She's a little sick. That's why her voice is out, but she's up here. And so if that's an interest in you, I know a lot of youth are actually getting into making t-shirts and all kinds of different stuff. Window decals. Tribes are, man, there's all kinds of different stuff. And it's awesome that she's set up this platform as a tribe so that others can learn how to do the cricket stuff. Or maybe they're thinking about small business. And the Lord has actually placed it on her heart to be able to pour in and disciple others through something as simple as the cricket machine. I think that's awesome. Thank you, Yvette. Go ahead, Terry.
Mine is called Chips, Dips, and Discipleship. And yes, we do have chips and we do have dips. Well, the Lord gave me this word about to start this group as we were baptizing people, me and George and I think Pete. We were bringing all these young couples up and I could see that they were just fresh, you know, had no nothing in their life, no direction, and they just need to be discipled. I can remember as a kid, in the Baptist church that I had no direction and no one to just, you know, put their arm around me and show this is the way, you know, and just give me some direction, answer some questions. It's amazing, like, you can say, hey, do you have any questions? And put them on the spot and they'll say no. But as you come together and you start talking about things and those questions pop up and you're able to answer them, and that's all through the Holy Spirit. So we're actually doing the book that was given last week, the the What's Next book, and so we'll be just going through that. We're not in a hurry. If we get through it, we get through it. If we don't, we don't.
That's awesome. Randy.
My name's Randy Yow. Mine is based on the stuff that Dr. Tony Evans does. It's called Kingdom Man Rising. It basically shows how a man to be a man and how to run the household. You're the head of the household. I got interested in him several years ago because there was nobody out there, like you said, to tell you how to actually be a good father, mentor,
That's
and everything.
Right.
And it's just a really good series.
That's good. That's
awesome. It meets Wednesday nights, 6:30.
Let me stab that real quick. We'll run down here. Oh, nope, that was right. I saw the wrong one. I'm bad. Let me get it out of the way. Thought I saw Christian up there.
Good morning, y'all. I'm Patty Turner. My husband Willie and I, when we joined the church a few years ago, there was really no place for us to slide into. It was for women, or it was for men. And as a new couple to the church, we wanted to be together. So this has kind of been brewing in our minds for a while. Rewind is just about, we're going to go back over the message. So you would just jot down something that came from the message that gave you insights or thoughts or questions. And we'll come together on Thursday night here at the church at 6:00. And just discuss that and how we apply that to our life. What does that look like in real life? And it doesn't matter if you're married or single, young or old, male or female. It doesn't matter. And so we just welcome y'all to come.
Okay, so I am leading. I've actually got two co-leads that are not here today, but one is Sarah Wilcox and the other one is Allie Harrington. And we are doing the Women of Worth small group, and it's truly a time where we can really get to know one another. And something, the study we're doing is called Fierce Warrioress, and it's about spiritual warfare. And the Lord just kept saying to my heart, really last year before the other tribe started, was to armor up. And this tribe is doing just that. It's broken into three parts. Don't be afraid. Remember the Lord and fight. But it's based on Nehemiah 4:14. I've got it pulled up here. And I had actually never, I probably read over this scripture before, but never like took it to heart. And it just says, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome, and fight for your families, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your homes. And that's what we're going to do.
Come on.
Wednesdays. At 6:00 at my house.
Yes. Awesome. Over, Kyla.
So I'm Kyla. I am leading Healthy Kingdom Women Thursdays at 6, located here at Thrive, alongside Peggy and Stephanie. A little bit about us is our friendship actually started in a Thrive tribe about a year and a half ago, and we've just gotten stronger and closer as time has gone on. And a few months ago when this idea came up to us, we really didn't know where we were going, but as time has gone on, I really feel like the Holy Spirit has just been equipping us to pursue it. Basically, in a nutshell, we're going to be focusing on creating holy and healthy habits with one another, as well as holding each other accountable in the most loving way that we can, and then just community and fellowship. And I guess kind of going along with your message, Chris, transforming each other, you know, helping each other out and
come on,
being with one another. But Thursdays at 6 here, so if the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you about joining a tribe like this, we are excited to have you and to transform with you.
So I'm Pastor Christian. This is my wife, Lauren, who quickly pass the mic to me. So on Monday nights at 6 p.m., we meet at our house, and we go through and we talk about marriage, but we talk about everything that is related to marriage. And it's not just simply talking about marriage. We talk about things of understanding the Bible, understand contextually, scripturally, how to do those things, because we can talk about marriage all day long, but let's talk about what the Lord has to say about it. So we talk scripturally. We meet at our house. We have a quick meal together, and we have a, you know, we're going to do a song of worship. and then we're going to go through these things. But we'd like to invite you, and it doesn't matter if you matter, but if you've been married for a very long time or a short time like us, we just want to get together. We want to feed off of each other's wisdom. We want to know what you have to say. I certainly don't have it figured out, but we want to learn from you. We want to build relationships with you. So come, just hang out with us, spend time with us, and there's a lot of incredible people. And as I look around the room, there's just bright faces of people that I've built relationships with just because we sat together in our home and spent time together and prayed together. So we'd like to invite you. Come to our place. You can scan this, but we'd like to invite you.
Awesome. Yes.
Or is my sister Norma? Norma?
Come on, Edelina. Get over here, girl. Oh, yeah.
Norma is my leader. I'm going to be the co-lead, but she's busy with the kids. Our try is going to be about reading the Bible. We're going to start in Genesis, and we're going to study, read, understand, and meditate on it. So, yeah, yes, I want to invite you guys if you're interested, but this is going to be in Spanish. So, that's it.
Yes.
Okay, so as you can see, they're going to do theirs here at the church on Wednesday nights at 6 p.m. Okay, anything else?
That is awesome. Yes, yeah, that's like it. Yes, and so with that, we have our tribes, and then we even have... We're coming on board right now with also discipleship tribes that are real small and intentional on purpose. And we're walking through emotionally healthy spirituality with 3 to 4 people and a facilitator. And so in the next week, we're going to have a sign-up list for that too. So if you would like a real intimate tribe to get plugged into, we would love to get you on the list and get you plugged into those small, intimate discipleship tribes as well. So, I'm excited, man. You guys get out in the trouble or out in the tribe tunnel, talk to your tribe leaders, and get plugged in. See you guys next week. Thanks.